I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Have roll call, please.
Salazar?
Here.
Sarber?
Yes.
Thompson?
Present.
Landis? Kiefer?
Here.
Painter?
Here.
Harrington?
Here.
You have a quorum, Your Honor.
We have some ceremonial matters. Mr. Linus?
Yes, sir. Please. I would be pleased to. The mayor has asked me to read these proclamations commemorating Elizabeth Bradovich Day, February 16, 2008. Whereas Ketchikan Gateway Borough is recognizing Elizabeth Bradovich Day to bring attention to the contributions made by this courageous Tlingit woman to end discrimination of Alaska Natives. Whereas Elizabeth Bradovich spearheaded the civil rights movement in Alaska, communicating the vision of the Alaska Native Brotherhood, ANB, and the Alaska Native Sisterhood, ANS, which was persuading the Alaska legislative body to pass the Anti-Discrimination Act of 1945. This act ensures the dignity and equality of all Alaska Natives. Whereas, as ANS Grand Camp President, Elizabeth Bradovich provided the crucial testimony for the passage of the Anti-Discrimination Act when she was asked by a Senate member, quote, "Will the Equal Rights Bill eliminate discrimination in Alaska?" End quote. She answered, quote, "Have you eliminated larceny or murder by passing a law against it? No law will eliminate crimes, but at least you as legislators can assert to the world that you recognize the evil of the present situation and speak your intent to help us overcome discrimination." End quote. Whereas on February 16, 1945, Ernest Greening, governor of the Territory of Alaska, signed into law the first anti-discrimination bill passed in Alaska, nearly 20 years before the Civil Rights Act of 1964. In 1988, the Alaska legislature passed a bill establishing February 16th as the annual Elizabeth Bradovich Day in honor of the late ANS Alaska Native Sisterhood Grand President's pursuit to end discrimination. Now, therefore, be it known that the Ketchikan Gateway Borough hereby proclaims February 16, 2008 as Elizabeth Bradovich Day, commemorating her work by encouraging all residents to acknowledge the great contributions Elizabeth Bradovich made to our state and its people in ensuring equality for all Alaskans. Let us honor the principles of Elizabeth Bradovich, which are really Alaskan principles, in their truest form. Signed and sealed on behalf of the Ketchikan Gateway Borough on this fourth day of February 2008, and Mayor Joe Williams has signed this for Camp 15 of the ANBANS, and also an identical commemoration for Camp 15.
And we have representatives from Camp 14 and Camp 15. Will you please come forward? Camp 15? Camp 14? Camp 14? Okay. Just so you folks know, what we have here today is representatives from Alaska Native Brotherhood and Alaska Native Sisterhood from Camp 14 and Camp 15. And we do have the esteemed pleasure of having a former grand president, and I'm would like to ask her to address the assembly, and that is Mary Jones. Mary Jones?
I'm so short. Thank you, Honorable Borough Mayor Williams and Honorable Council members. My name is Mary Baines Jones of Ketchikan. I'm Tlingit, Eagle Halibut Beaver, Nehudi of Cape Fox. I'm a tribal sister to Joe's father. I was born in Ketchikan at home and raised my father's country, Metlakatla, Simchan of the Wolf Clan. I am presently a member of the ANS Camp 14 Ketchikan, and I was elected ANS Grand Secretary at the ANB Convention in 1972, serving 6 years, which entails taking minutes for the entire convention for 6 days, plus minutes for the ANS delegation. Then 3 terms at the ANS Grand President, we have a yearly convention. I was recently honored with the title Emeritus, given to a past ANS Grand President, voted in by past ANS Grand President's ANS Executive Committee. It is truly an honor for both camps, number 14 and 15, Ketchikan and Saxman, to be invited to participate in the commemoration of our great lady, past ANS Grand President, Elizabeth Wanamaker Paratrovich, Tlingit of the Raven Moiety. Perhaps of historic interest to you is the purpose of this great Native organization. Sheldon Jackson College was originally founded as Sitka Training School for vocational training of all Alaska Natives. Thus, the students at the time were of adult age, with some who were married couples. The school was of Presbyterian denomination, but some of the students were of other faiths, such as the Russian Orthodox or the Salvation Army. It became apparent to many of the adult students the many injustices facing our people. No citizenship, no voting rights, segregated schools, and other establishments, even churches. So 12 men, Native men, and one woman took passage to Juneau, where they met, then applied for the formation of the first national Indian organization, serving in all political issues, still strong in the political field. As Elizabeth was the ANS Grand Camp president, along with her husband, Roy Paratrovich, the Alaska Native Brotherhood Grand Camp president, we of the ANS symbolically don our sisterhood regalia of royal blue and white for purity and blue of the beauty of the sky, for such an occasion as this and at installation of our Grand Camp and local camp officers. The brothers' attire is black or dark suits, white shirts or ties, along with our banners. And we call our banners Kugena, which is a Tlingit word for banner or sash. The brothers' colors, as you'll notice, is gold and red, and the sister in royal blue and white, with the arrow symbolic of the organization going ahead, which is still strong in their stands or issues. At the convention where Roy and Elizabeth presided as Grand Camp presidents, the charge was given to them to petition the territorial legislature with the anti-discrimination bill. There was a totality of leaders elected as delegates from every community or camp, and with the Paratrovich family living in Juneau, she went to the Senate session, the House and Senate sessions, supported by many ANS members. The late Cecilia Koontz of Juneau tells of her being one of his supporters. What a revelation and legacy left by her dignified presence and confidence, as is told. This was the mandate of the ANB and the ANS convention. One young ANS member of Douglas ANS Camp, Dorothy McKinley, authored the resolution to have Elizabeth Pradovich recognized and honored for the passage of the anti-discrimination bill, and that a special day be set aside as Elizabeth Pradovich Day. This was truly an ANB ANS convention charged, followed through by the then ANS president and other ANS supporters. The legacy she left with us is her challenge to the legislature, and as Dave had stated, and asked by Senator Shattuck of Juneau if she thought the proposed bill would eliminate discrimination. She queried in rebuttal, "Do your laws against larceny and even murder prevent these crimes?" No law will eliminate crimes, but if you as legislators can assert to the world that you recognize the evil of the present situation and speak your intent to help us overcome discrimination. When she finished, there was a wild burst of applause from the gallery and the Senate floor alike. The Senate passed the bill 11-5 on February 8, 1945, 63 years ago. Of historical irony, too, is the school segregation integration ruling being passed here in Ketchikan with William Paul, Tlingit attorney, and the support of the Ketchikan Camp 14. And of further interest is Mayor Joe Williams' junior parents, Joe Sr. and Elizabeth Williams, were both past A&B and ANS grand presidents, as was my mother, Elizabeth Baines. They were past great leaders, along with many others, of our people. Mayor Williams and council members of the borough, this is just a brief of this honor and recognition bestowed on our past and great ANS grand president, Elizabeth Pradovich, and we thank you.
Thank you very much. Now opens the portion for citizen comments.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Laurie Boysa. I reside at 319 Pine Street, and I'm the chair of the board of directors for the Ketchikan Visitors Bureau. As some other people are here to do so tonight, I'm here to talk a little bit about the disbursement of the head tax funds. As we all know, there are federal guidelines that require the funds be spent on things directly impacting the cruise visitors in our town. And as I see it, this means improved visitor services and improved experiences while in our port. As the discussions move forward with the expanded port facilities, this will require expanded services for our guests. And the borough will benefit from both the services given before the visitor arrives, because that means we get them to come here and not somewhere else, and as well as the obvious benefits once the guests arrive here. I wanted to commend the borough for the energy it's been putting into the new planning process. It's been exciting working with the planning director, his staff, and the other organizations in town to look towards our better future. And taking a lead from this, I suggest that the borough take a proactive tact with the head tax funds and consider a process by which the borough can collaborate with community groups, getting the options out on the table and making the decisions that best serve the interests of all of our guests. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much.
Questions?
And no questions?
Thanks.
Appreciate your time. Other citizen comments?
I'm Kathleen Wickelman. I live at 702 South Point Higgins Road. I'm one of the co-chairs of Ketchikan Beaches Association, and I want to comment briefly about an item in the manager's report. First, I'd like to express appreciation to the borough manager and members of the planning department, especially over the last couple of weeks. due to the positive negotiations that have taken place with the Alaska Mental Health Trust Land Office concerning the acquisition of South Point Higgins Beach and hopefully a portion of Coast Guard Beach. We also appreciate being included in the discussions. Secondly, I just wanted to say that Ketchikan Beaches Association supports the borough's efforts in acquiring as much of these beaches as possible, and we will supplement the borough's fundraising efforts to the fullest extent that we can. Thank you. Are there any questions?
Hearing no questions, thank you for
thank you.
Appreciate it. Other citizen comments?
Good evening. My name is Janice Walker, and I live at 730 Deermount Street. I'm here mostly to be able to provide, to answer questions that you may have on the sales tax issue regarding the Ketchikan Youth Hostel. I don't have any prepared statement, so I will stay here, and if you guys do have questions, I'll do my best to answer them. I've been involved with that organization for 20 years, so got some history with it.
Any questions, Assembly members? Hearing none, thank you very much. Other citizen comments?
Good evening. Todd Phillips, Downtown Steering Committee, Trinkets, and also board member of the KVB. Just like to concur on, well, first of all, did you get the packet on the Downtown Steering Committee, the different proposals that we made? Does everybody have a packet? Okay, are there any questions about that packet?
Is that this?
That's the art.
This is the one in the manager's report.
Oh, the manager's report? Okay.
Right. While you're trying to find out, I'd also like to say about the monies being appropriated for KPA from our taxes as well. I'd like to concur with Lori. I think it's very, very important that the downtown area obviously makes a great impression for our visitors when they come, and it's something that I think should be done every year. It shouldn't be something that they need to ask for or budgeted for. It should be an automatic possible set money aside, basically, for that. Also, on another note, on the sales tax for new businesses, I don't know, is that appropriate now for this? Okay. There was a suggestion, I believe, about not having them put up a deposit. I think this would be a mistake. I think new businesses coming into our town should have to put a deposit for the following reason. That number one, it's one of the things that a business must pay is their sales tax, and they must do it quarterly. One of our major quarters, July, August, and September, is when the majority of the money is made downtown by most of the businesses. If a business or a company, whatever, would choose not to pay and be here just as a startup, it would be very simple for them, because then they have until October to either leave the state and not do it. If we're going to be more business friendly, I would suggest in lieu of that instead of a signage deposit, or you know, for a permit to get signs, that should be canceled, and they have to abide by the laws and then implement fines for anyone who breaks the law for that. And I just like to that's just my comment on that. Now, going back to the Downtown Steering Committee, any questions on that,
Mr. Kiefer?
Yeah, a couple of questions. Thanks for moving time.
Sure. Which one?
On the tunnel repair and enhancement, God knows it needs it.
On which one? Tunnel.
The tunnel repair and enhancement. I guess the question is, consider working with KPA to put out an RFP for mural design. Are you talking about a mural inside the tunnel, or a mural in the front of the tunnel? What kind of mural are you talking about here?
Well, I believe from it would be inside. Okay. From just the discussions that we had, I think the majority of the people think that that would be just awesome. And obviously with the proper lighting, so it can be seen, you know.
And the other question you have here on the green areas, which I was in favor of, Whale Park, then also you say the green area at the intersection of Stedman, Mission, and Dock. Are you talking about the tail of Whale Park? Or are we talking about there, that little kind of island that kind of comes out there?
It's got what you mean. It's for Whale Park.
It says Whale Park, then there's a separate thing for green area at intersection of Stedman, Mission, and Dock. And I'm always bad trying to figure out where the streets are intersecting. But
okay, so that would be...
Is that the little tail of the whale out there? The one with the library lit last year?
Dock.
Yeah. Right? Isn't that that area?
I think that is.
Yeah, that's where Mission, yeah, okay. That would be that area there. And then the addition of shrubs, green area, and that. What we, and can I impress upon the people here tonight that obviously we really appreciate all the hard work everybody has been doing, especially Tom working with us very closely to implement a lot of this, and we are really hoping that we can get a lot of this done by the season of 08, if that is possible. Any further questions? Yes.
Just a quick follow-up there. On the shrubs in the green area at the curve of Front and Mill Street, Patty can correct me if I'm wrong, but at one point the plan was to put, like, shrubbery there, and the businesses didn't like it because they felt it blocked the view of their business from that area. So, I mean, I always thought it would be a great place. And the original plan for that area caused there to be, like, some small trees and stuff around there. But the feeling was no, it blocked the businesses, and they wanted visibility.
From what we have seen, I believe it wouldn't do that. That's why we decided that it'd be there. Then, in lieu of also having, we were going to, with Sanuts suggestion that we had done about planters also going around. And then we thought, well, in that area, they might have a choice of not wanting to do that. And then the box planters would be better. Anybody else?
Any other questions, assembly members? Hearing none, thank you very much, sir.
All right, thanks for your time.
Other citizen comments?
Hello, my name is Kathleen Light. I'm the director of the Arts Council. I live at 501 Front Street. I'd also like to thank the borough for putting together the Planning Liaison Committee and working with interested entities around town for planning, future planning of Ketchikan. I think it's wonderful. It's been a pleasure to work with Tom. I'd like to just encourage the borough to support public art this year, the next year, and for a long time to come. Public art is very important to this community. It gives us pride. It shows visitors what we're interested in, who we are, how our history is developed. There's lots of things we can do with art, and I just encourage you to support it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Other citizen comments?
Packets also I gave you. I'm Dave Rubin, 510 Edmonds. KPAW presented the process, sent out RFPs, proposals for different sites that they identified as a good place for public art. Through the process, mine was one of the three that was picked. What it is, explained, it's, this is where the site was identified. Whether it's actually going to be there or not, I don't know. Called the Rock, nickname for Ketchikan. It is a rock. Chief Johnson, the logger, pilot, fisherman, miner, a native elder, woman singing a song with a drum, an elegant woman. I'd like to see a cannery worker too, but that's the idea. The reason I'm here is I'm appealing for funds, hopefully from the head tax money, under the idea of dock enhancement. The reason I'm coming to you for this money is because the RFPs were due on Thursday. I got this idea on Monday. I'm not experienced at making monuments. I've never done a monument before. So in my inquiries to the foundries, I kind of misunderstood the total cost. It's greater than what I thought it was going to be to do these seven figures in bronze. The base is going to be in ferro cement and try to look like a rock. and that's why I'm here. And in your packets, I'd like to go through them with you. Would I do that now or later?
Now would be the time, sir.
Would it be? Okay.
Do you have any idea how much time this would take?
It'd probably take less than 3 minutes.
You have 3 minutes.
Okay. I have to run and get one.
Starting now.
258. 254.
Okay, first page, of course. In the second page, I identified each one of the figures for you. The idea is to show the people and show each other who made this town with great pride and a great historic sense about who we are and where we came from. On page 3, it's a sample of a Alaskan monument. It's called the Lumbermen, just so that there's a precedent for these forms of art in Alaska, these historical pieces. The next one, probably everyone's seen, the one in Juneau of the miners, beautifully done in bronze. The next one is just a sketch, about a day's worth of work by my sister. She's a professional sculptor. This is 12 inches tall. And it's just from what she got from the sketch that you guys see here, that's what she took like that. And she started Googling Alaskan fishing. So, of course, that's where the overalls and the sweatshirt, the hooded sweatshirt. I would like to have it be more like the Winslow Homer look with the Southeaster with the yellow hat and the raincoat. Next is these are some statues that Skip Wallen, who's an Alaskan sculptor. I know Nathan knows him. These are very large. If you can see Mr. Wallen, he's like halfway up the figure on the left. And these were a World War II monument. I think they're up in, it says Fairbanks. And the next page is actually right now a 28-foot tall bronze breaching humpback whale that Skip Wallen and the former mayor of Juneau is proposing for Juneau. And the reason I have it here is so I can give you guys a foundation of understanding, a little perspective. He's asking $3 million. And I asked Nathan, is that like a huge, is like a third of that artist fee? He goes, no. That's how much this costs. It's an unbelievable amount of money. So then, which brings us to the budget, the realistic budget, which is right here. Now, part of this, I've already figured out ways to trim this. So it says $224,000. I don't think it's gonna take that. I'm asking you guys for $100,000, and I think we'll get it done. I will get it done. I'm also suggesting that you can do it in phases. You don't have to give me, so you can do other things this year with the money. And if I had some commitment, you could give me part now, part next year. It's going to take probably a year and a half, 2 years. That's another, I have to discuss that with the city. But the foundry alone said for six figures, just the bronzing. There's three stops on this process. But just the foundry is going to take 6 months to a year. That's just pouring the bronze. But with the new dock reconfiguration, it could be right on schedule. And then a schedule of how long it takes is the last page, and that's for four figures. I could do the four figures first. We could put the monument there with the four figures and then leave the vacancies and then fulfill that in the next installment. I'm just, please excuse my inexperience in making monuments, but there is absolutely no doubt that we can get this down there. I'll be working with Terry Piles and my sister, and we will put this down on the dock and hopefully enhance the dock. And I will stick around. If there are any questions now, but I was intending to stick around for discussion too.
Any questions, assembly members? Mr. Lennis?
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Rubin, now this was originally vetted through the KPA group.
Right.
What have they said about the project since it's been discovered that there is more funding necessary?
Well,
is there still support there?
Yes, yes, okay. Yes. The hope was that, well, I mean, right at this point where there is this other money available from the borough, that it could be a city, borough, cooperative, artistic, industrial cooperation, you know. I really think that the people getting off the ship should know, you know, what this town is.
and what we feel the town is, and celebrate these people and what they did, because we wouldn't be here if they hadn't.
Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thanks for coming in, Dave. The only question I had at this point is, based on the drawing I have in front of me, it looks like this statue is going to be 12 feet, 15 feet tall.
Well, I'm imagining that the height of the rock where Chief Johnson is standing is about like here. So he'll start there. So
and then life size?
He'll be life size. Well, 5 feet, which is also going to help keep the cost down, not 6 feet. I mean, that would be...
We're not talking...
No. Well, if people want me to stay within the budget, I could make them this big.
What you've envisioned is that the base of the statue is about the size of the...
Yeah, well, a little bit... I actually went down there last night, and in the snow, I marked out the area and stood where each person would be. So I was thinking spatially, like, how much...